Luke chapter 2. Let me turn this on here. Luke chapter 2. And I'm just going to read the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, unto the house of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even up to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this great thing that you've done, for sending your child, for sending your son. Father, we thank you that the shepherds were witnesses and told their stories to as many people as they could tell. We thank you most, though, for your son, because of what he was going to do for us. Father, help us learn today and to see and to understand and comprehend it better, that we can go out and be witnesses also. In his name we pray. Amen. What makes this so extraordinary is a vision that was seen by the prophet Ezekiel. Let me just give you a quick rendition. You can read about it in Ezekiel chapter 10. Remember, in Jerusalem, they had the holy temple of God, and in that temple was supposed to be the Ark of the Covenant, and between the wings of the angels that sat on the Ark of the Covenant, in between them, God said His glory would stay, and they would know that God was there. And so inside that room, which was called the Holy of Holies, there's two rooms in the temple. In that back room, which was called the Holy of Holies, all that was in there was the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God. And then there was a curtain, and then there was other furnishings on the outside, like the menorah, the showbread table, the incense burner. And then there was these great brass doors that would shut closed at nighttime. And then at the daytime they would open them up. And that temple was made out of stone. And around the top of the temple was a gold, looked like a crown, all around the top of that temple. And then there was a courtyard with walls around it, and with just an opening that you could only come into it from one direction. And then there was another courtyard with an opening that you could only come into that temple from that one direction. And Ezekiel saw something that was actually sad. Because in his vision, he saw the inside of the Holy of Holies. And he saw the cherubim. And he saw the chariot of God with the wheels. And he saw the presence of God go up into the chariot of God. And he saw it come out of the temple. And it hesitated in the holies. And then it came out of the temple. And it turned and went over to the eastern gate. And it stopped on the wall. And then it went away. The glory of God had left the temple in Jerusalem. That means that after that point, that all the ritual that was going on in that temple was just ritual. Nothing was left of the presence of God. All that was there is ritual stone walls. But the glory of God had departed. Let me explain to you what this means in symbolic language to us. The old covenant, the old contract that we know of as the Old Testament that Moses had written, the laws were carved in stone and those great stone walls went way high. And those are symbolic walls. There are no openings. There are no other ways to get into the very presence of God except through those brass doors. And those brass doors, brass represents judgment. So you couldn't enter into that place because it was the judgment of God that it would be shut up to us. Even in the darkest of night, those doors were shut. The walls there symbolize the law of God, which kept men out because they weren't holy enough. They weren't righteous enough to come into His presence. The crown, the gold around the top, was to show the divinity of God was so high and so lifted up that the average man could not even touch the divinity of God that was symbolized there. And these courtyards with their gates, there was guards standing outside the farthest gate. So if anyone tried to enter into a place that was forbidden them, they were to kill those people to keep them from contaminating the presence of God. And the people went on as though nothing had happened. The ritual went on day after day after day. And the priests didn't even know that the glory of God had left. And yet, the angels proclaimed that day that the glory of God was shining round about and that His presence, the great light that was going to shine in the darkness of this world, was born in Bethlehem as a babe. What this communicates to us is God is not wanting to be locked away behind stone walls of law and brass doors of judgment with people who are in charge of keeping you away from Him. He is not impressed with just ritual that goes on mindlessly day after day after day. He is not impressed with that, but as His Son, Jesus Christ, very God of very God, came down and demonstrated, He wanted me to be with the people of Israel, with the common people, with the rich people. He did not care. There was no blockage between Him and anybody else. He even told people, let those little kids come to me. He didn't put up a wall between Himself and them in any way. He would talk to the most powerful people, like Nicodemus, who was set on the highest court. He would talk to those who was considered lowly people, like the 10 lepers that He healed. He would talk to those people who were too easy to love, like the adulteress who was taken and asked if she should be stoned. And those people it was very easy to hate, like Matthew, the tax collector. He talked to physically big people, Peter the fisherman, and Zacchaeus, the wee man. He talked to the smart people like the scribes, and he talked to the crazies like the demonic Gadarene. Every person that wanted to approach Jesus Christ had that opening, had that opportunity. He was willing to say to any of them, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, and I'll bear your burdens. What this means to us in our day and age is that dichotomy, that extraordinary contrast. Here's this big, beautiful temple with all these gorgeous rituals going on. And yet the presence and the glory of God was out there walking around in sandals and a robe. What this means to us is that ritual does not impress Him. Now I know what we're all thinking, because we're evangelicals and we go to a small church. We immediately think of the great big churches that we've seen. And I have seen some gorgeous churches. I was telling somebody this week here at the church that in Chicago, the Fourth Presbyterian Church has columns all down through their sanctuary. And on top of every column is an angel carved of wood. And each one is different with a different musical instrument. It's gorgeous inside. There's other churches up there that are extraordinary just to go look at the architectural work that's put into it. And we think of the high churches and say, those are the ritualistic churches. Every church, and it doesn't matter, you can go right down from the highest church to the medium churches where they light just two candles at their services, or you can go right on down to the churches with the plainest, simple Did you know that the original Quakers didn't talk during their church service? They didn't sing. They just came into the building and sat down and sat there quietly. And if the Spirit of God did not tell one of them to stand up and say anything, they sat there for an hour and then they'd go home. But whatever we do can become a ritual if we think that is the only way that we can get to God. Three songs, passing the plate at the right time, having offertories, having communion only on certain days, or even having communion every Sunday. If we think that those things are what pleases God and the rituals is what pacifies Him, as though He's a baby and we need to entertain Him and keep Him distracted and pacified so that maybe He will bless us or at best He will ignore us, we have missed the point of what Christmas is all about. The Christmas story is this: God wants to be involved actively in your life, actively in my life. He has removed the walls. He has came out of that place. He has went beyond the doors of judgment, and He's went beyond the place where the people are trying to block you out, and He's moving among the people. He is the light in great darkness. What it means to us is forget the ritual, forget all this stuff, and remember this one thing. You just need to go to Him and say, I need your help. I need you to forgive me of everything I've done wrong. I need you to get me through and to get me into heaven. I need you to lead me, to guide me and direct me. I need you, Jesus. And He says, I will be there for you. That's the whole point of the Christmas season, is this babe was born in a very low place. And He is open from the lowest to the highest people. And it is our business, our job, to take advantage of that situation and go to Him. It's not the assembly of music and standing up and reciting the scriptures at a certain time and just having three songs and Doyle speaks forever and ever and we have to endure. That is not the point. The point is always calling upon Jesus Christ and trusting Him. We are a blessed people. Any person who has trusted in Christ is a blessed people. And the more you trust, the more you shall be blessed, like today. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, I call upon You and I ask that You bless us as an assembly. Help us to put aside the ritual. Though we enjoy it and we want to praise You and worship You as we gather, we enjoy the choir, we enjoy all this giving and the opportunity of giving back to You. But most of all, first and foremost, we want Your presence in our church. We want Your presence when this group assembles. We want You here with us. Jesus, come and dwell with us from now and forever. We ask it all in His name. Amen.